Good evening and welcome to FedEx Field in suburban D.C., Landover, right? Landover, Maryland?
You feel that? A little breeze.
Yeah.
It's a great night for football, just not for starting football. Right?
This is Jaguars.com live in the pregame brought to you by Everbank. Brian Sexton with John Osher, who's alluding to the fact, what are there, 30, 35 guys who are not dressing tonight?
Well,
or
for the Jags, it's 33. I'm not sure the number on the Skins. It's 16 offensive players and 17 defensive players.
No one of significance is playing tonight.
Well, Chris Smith will play, which is significant because he's going to be the first second down Leo. So they want to get him some reps. Demetrius McCray will play. There's some guys who will play who will make this team, but it's not a lot of them. And, the specialists will play, so we'll get a chance to see Jason Myers. There'll be some things, but it will not look like a regular season Jaguars game in any way whatsoever.
Well, and you can hear the fans, especially those who are here in the building tonight, complaining, what am I paying for to come and see this? You know, from a practical standpoint, you think about the cost associated with putting a team on a plane, bringing them up, housing them at a nice hotel, feeding them, bringing them home.
That's just a nice little hotel, wasn't it?
Yeah, the JW Marriott in D.C. Yeah, did you stop by and knock on any doors, the White House or Capitol?
I thought you meant other people's doors in the hotel.
No.
I grew out of that,
yeah.
Right?
But the point of the matter is that that's the world that we live in the
right.
National Football League these days.
Yeah, and it's sort of an unfortunate part of it. And you sort of wish from a fan's perspective there was a way to change that from a cost perspective. It's way above my pay grade. It's been a complaint for a long time, and it's out there. From a football perspective, it's the right thing to do in terms of everything's about keeping guys fresh now. Everything's about having some health going into the regular season. You want to be as healthy as possible because for a GM, the game has become, you've got 60 guys, practice squad and players, and you're just hoping to keep that 60, I guess the right word is afloat. You're hoping to keep as many of those guys in as many games as possible. So for them, every game that's lost to a preseason game is another, chance lost. It's another week of bringing guys in and out. So they don't want that. That's the world we live in. It's interesting. It seems like up until about 10 years ago, this was not the norm for the final preseason game. You might play, I remember covering the Colts in a couple of seasons where, you would see Peyton Manning the first couple of series of the fourth preseason game. Then all of a sudden it changed, and it seems like in about a 4 or 5 year period, it's become the norm where you just, now it's not expected. You hear complaints all the time. Now I think people get it.
I can remember 10 years ago going to New England for the final preseason game, and it was the first time that a team had sat all their starters, and Bill
right.
Belichick announced it about, 90 minutes before the
right.
game. And that was 2005.
Yeah, it was about then.
About then. And so the game has completely changed to that health
yeah.
perspective.
And now it's just the norm. And, on the one hand, it does, and I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, it does sort of make you realize the reality. All the people who complain about four preseason games, well, they really don't play four preseason games with the regular guys. So the regular guys wind up playing about 2.5. So really for them it already is sort of a 2-game preseason. And it makes you wonder if they did cut it to 2 and you were trying to keep guys healthy, would they be able to get enough reps? I know they could figure it out. I know there's a solution there somewhere. I just don't see it happening. I think they're going to stick with 4. I think you're going to start seeing them limit playing time even more. And you're going to see teams manage it much more, and that's going to be how it is going forward.
How would you characterize the Jaguars' health overall? They're going to start the season without Dante Fowler, their first-round draft
right.
pick, and without Julius Thomas, their high-dollar, most significant free agent signing.
Well,
so where would you place them?
If you take, if you leave Dante Fowler into the equation, then all season injuries are a factor because that's your number 3 draft pick. That's the guy who Cry could have been that impact Leo. So if you include him, it's always going to be a deal. If you take him out of it, I think they're remarkably healthy entering preseason. Except for him, they haven't lost anybody. There's no guy that's riding the plane except for Dante Fowler Jr. who you're looking at going, man, we're not going to have him all year. So Julius Thomas is going to be back. Sipp's going to be back. Marquise Lee's going to be back. You would assume Sindarius going to be back. I don't know how soon that's going to be at this point. But and when I say assume, he's going to be back. We just don't really know when at this point. So you haven't lost anybody for the season. That always gives you hope that when you see something that's deficient, okay, well, that might get fixed when this guy gets back. So it's not tragic yet.
if it wasn't for the Scobie trade this week, the Julius Thomas surgery,
yeah,
and missing the first month of the season, might have been a bigger story, although I think most of us expected it was,
sure,
going to be a slow, you know, road back for him. And we've talked enough about that. But let's talk about Jason Myers,
right,
who takes over as the Jaguars kicker tonight.
Well, and that is one thing that's interesting. I mean, you don't want to put pressure on the guy, but the reality is he's replacing a guy that this fan base adores. So every kick he makes, every kick he misses, there's going to be a tendency to sort of have an immediate, what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of
reaction.
Reaction, but if he misses a kick, see, I told you they shouldn't have done it. And it's going to be, you're going to want to write the kid's whole career story based on the 37-yarder in the first quarter tonight, and you can't do that. They believe this is a guy who has the potential, and Caldwell hasn't said this, but you get the idea listening to him. They think he can be Pro Bowl, All-Pro guy for a long time. And we all know what sort of that kicker looks like. A Jason Hansen in Detroit forever. Vinatieri,
New England in Indianapolis.
New England's kicker now. You know, those guys who you go out there, they never miss. You feel like they're good from 55 yards in. It feels like this guy's got that potential. Now, is that going to be the case week one? I don't know. But that's what they're thinking. That's the reason this thing happened.
Well, it's a bold move in one respect. This is a team that expects to win some close games this, mm-hmm, year, to be in some close games.
Right.
And to move on past a veteran kicker says how much they like,
yes,
Jason Myers and what they saw.
It also a little bit, and Gus talked about this Tuesday after the trade. One thing that they had to talk to Scobie about last year was the height on kicks. They feel like Myers is already better at that, that the ball comes up quicker, there's less of a chance of a field goal block. So I just get the sense in a lot of ways that they believe that this is the better situation right now. They're not thinking we're going to be better in 2016 because of this.
Right.
They believe he's the better kicker right now.
John, the Jaguars drafted Scobie in the fifth round in 2004. 11 years later, he's their all-time leading scorer, gave him some memorable moments,
yep,
in an era that wasn't that memorable, to be,
right,
honest with you, right? The 59-yarder,
sure,
in 2010 stands out to most people. And 11 years later, you trade him,
right,
for a sixth-round pick. Now, if that's a used car,
right,
you're feeling really good about
it. So you're saying Josh Scobie's a used car. He's not even out the door yet.
I love Scobie.
No,
he's a great,
no,
guy.
Scobie's great. He
but
would
you understand my point. That is they,
yeah,
got great value for Scobie, and he contributed.
Yeah.
But for the Jaguars, it was too good of an opportunity to pass.
Right. It's probably a little disingenuous, and I wrote the same thing you just said this week. Probably a little disingenuous to say, well, fifth-round pick, and then they got a sixth-round pick, so it's a good deal. But just the fact that you could go get value and believe that you are getting better and get value. Well, that's not something that you're able to do all the time in the NFL.
No.
Usually you have to give up and get.
Right.
Right now they feel like they're getting and getting. I'm a big believer. I like to get things. So that's a good thing for the Jaguars.
You get a sixth-round pick for a kicker. Who would have told,
yeah,
you that you'd be able to do it? By the way, Scobie seems pretty happy to be able to play with Ben Roethlisberger and play,
well,
a contender late in his career.
And I think Josh gets this, too.
Yeah.
You're 11 years in. There are many, many NFL careers that after 11 years end poorly. Well, there's no doubt this fan base loves him. I can envision a time where Josh comes back and takes one of our jobs.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
he'll be around.
He's going to be around. He's a Jacksonville guy. He'll retire a Jag, whatever all that means. But he's beloved by this fan base. 11 years. You don't always get that as a player.
No.
And then when it's done at a place, you don't always get, hey, Josh, bad news is you're not going to be around here. Good news is you've got a job and you're still making good money. You're playing for a good organization and you still got a future in the league. That doesn't always happen. So I think over time, that will be how it's looked at by more people than just Josh. I'm sure Josh looks at it that way for the most part now.
So when you look at tonight, what do you hope to get out of it besides staying healthy?
Well,
and a warm-up, because everybody's dressed to come warm up.
I like to get my stories done quickly. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that would
like
be
everybody
a plus
to get dressed and get on the plane, because,
yeah,
we got about an hour ride to the airport.
Well,
after,
yeah,
this.
It's a tough logistical trip, no doubt about that. You know, I guess health, you know, you don't want to see some of these second team guys get hurt. You don't want to see an Avery Jones hurt. You don't want to see Bernard Pierce hurt. Some of these guys I think are going to give you depth. You'd like to see Brian Walters sort of come out and earn that spot that I think he's already earned. You'd like to see Nick Marshall play well, some guys make an impact. Realistically, this game is about a chance for 35, 40 guys to put some good film on tape. The interesting thing is, a lot of these guys who get cut, they will play in the league. And my guess is they'll be, if this team cuts, what's the number going to be, 32 guys this weekend, or 22, I'm sorry. Probably five of them wind up playing for this team again. That's usually how it works. When you have an injury, one of these guys comes back. So these guys, even if they sort of know the numbers don't add up for them, they're not only playing for somewhere else, they're also playing to sort of be the fourth guy on the depth chart, so to speak. I think somebody like Sam Young might fall into that category. He's a veteran guy. If you keep him on the 53, you pay him a lot. But he's a guy who might wind up being that guy. If there's an injury and he's out there, you go get him back. He's familiar with the system. So there's that element tonight, too.
If I gave you the flip card that's sitting up at your seat right now.
It's all scratched up, Ryan.
And asked you to cut the roster and give me the 53, how many do you suppose you get right?
There's also some food I spilt on it, by the way, too. So
the popcorn was pretty good.
Yeah. How many would I get right? 49 or 50.
Do you know? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I know him, but you're pretty sure. I mean, all the guys who aren't playing, for the most part,
sure,
are pretty much there. And then the guys who are starting, the thing to look for is, you know, look for some special teams roles. Certain guys who are starting on first team special teams unit, it's not all across the board. Some of the guys not playing are special teams guys. But a lot of the guys who are starting on punt, on kickoff coverage, they're the guys who have a good chance to make it through this weekend.
Well, a couple of names for people then, specific position battles for folks to watch tonight. You know, there's 10 offensive linemen, right? You may only keep 9. And in particular, you've got Austin Pasdor,
right,
who plays guard and tackle, and Sam Young, who plays left and right tackle.
Right.
That's going to be one to watch.
That's one to watch. And I think the Sam Young thing with the vested veteran plays into that a little bit, and they have a decision to make there. There's also a lot of defense. It looks like there's more defensive linemen who they like than they can have on the team. So I'm interested to see, I'm almost sure Michael Bennett's on this roster. At the same time, I think he's going to be close at the end. I think Avery Jones, those guys, I think are on the roster. But at the same time, you start looking at numbers and guys they have to keep because of injury, and all of a sudden things get interesting at the defensive line spot.
All right, so plenty of battles to watch tonight in the preseason finale here at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. You can follow John on Twitter all evening long, and of course we'll have live coverage of Gus Bradley. I don't think Blake Bortles is talking, so we'll go with Gus Bradley's press conference tonight after the game. Normally we'll have Blake Bortles' press conference after each game live as well. So great coverage all night, throughout the night, into the morning. John Osher, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Here we go, getting ready for 2015 by finishing off the preseason. Enjoy the game.